Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 13th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. It's Victory Wednesday for me.
Why is it Victory Wednesday? What happened?
Well, I don't know why. I guess I'm an Arsenal fan. I've just decided to become an Arsenal fan. And they won a match last night on PKs.
Champions League beat something Porto, FC Porto, I believe.
We
were watching it in the Harbor Bar here in Port Rush. Yeah, you didn't know anything. The people who were in the bar might have been annoyed that your sudden enthusiasm for Arsenal, while also not knowing anything about Arsenal, Champions League, or soccer in general, might have perturbed some of the other bar goers or amused a few of them.
Apparently, being an Arsenal fan makes me a gooner.
Because their name's the Gunners, right? Or their nickname's the Gunners, but their fans are called Gooners? Is that what was explained to us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to sound so uninformed right now, but
we're idiots.
So. Yeah, but it's been great. We're over in Port Rush. It's been fun. It's a Victory Wednesday for you. I'm glad. Just to inform you, just on this day, I was reading through the notes, PGA Tour notes. On this day, 20 years ago, we're recording this on a Wednesday. You know, we got the 6 hour, 5 hour. I think it's 4 right now, thanks to daylight savings in the States. We're recording this on actual Wednesday.
We might miss some people's morning commutes.
No, we're going to have this live. On this day 20 years ago, I was reading through the notes. I just started chuckling. Padraig Harrington, who we've been exposed to here, earns his first PGA Tour win at the Cognizant Classic, is how it was written out. Padraig Harrington, legend at the Cognizant Classic.
Unbelievable.
Is that what it was called back then, you think? The Cognizant Classic?
Has Cognizant even been around for 20
in
years?
In a playoff over, I don't think they were yet Cognizant. They were not yet that. In a playoff over Vijay Singh and Joe Ogilvy. So that's 20 years ago. Now the schedule is, of course, flipped. We're at Players' Championship, gold standard, the rose gold boy. The sheen has been taken off of gold boy after a field that's not what it's always been. That's the big debate or the big talking point, right? This field has lost its luster. It can no longer claim to be the best field in golf, although Jay Monahan seemed to maintain the party line in his press conference on Tuesday, which we'll get to here in a minute. I really want to take pains to not be too negative about this week, this championship. We really like the course. We've really liked some recent players, the pandemic one notwithstanding. But like there's just not a lot of momentum. There's not a lot of buzz. There's not a lot of excitement or anticipation for this particular Players' Championship. I don't think it's just because we're over in Ireland or we're Northern Ireland. We're not there. That certainly contributes to our personal interaction with the tournament, but I've been reading, watching, following. There just seems to be less output and less interest. And there's probably several reasons why for that, which we'll get to. But it's not one where that has a lot of pre-tournament buzz.
I'm excited for the players, and I think it's an interesting moment in the history of the PGA Tour. This event has had a wonderful rise in profile. I think we obviously have been people that have never wanted to call it a major.
Yeah.
I think that it was approaching a major, and at this point, it has taken a big step back, not like a small step back, a massive step back. And really, like, if you want to know why, is like the identity in the players and why it was getting there to that major level was rooted in we have the deepest, the strongest field in golf. And that's just not true when you don't have any of the LIV players there.
17 of the last 30 majors won are not there. It's a significant number, even if you think, you know.
I mean, you see it when you just look through the tee times. This event used to be, I could pick out 10 awesome tee times to go watch, and now it's like 6.
We're going to do favorite tee times here at some point. Probably.
I think like there you could
back up.
Like really, really fascinating tee times where it's like, how do I... I remember when I went to the players that I went to, it was like, I don't know which group to follow. There's so many of them. And it's like, do I follow... I remember, I think I watched Rory and DJ. I can't remember who the third in the group was, but the group behind them was awesome too. So you could bounce back and forth. This year, it's kind of like, well, there's like two really good groups and a bunch of like okay groups.
If you're a casual fan, even, you know.
If you're a casual fan, there's two groups.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it's certainly what's interesting. What's so obvious is it's very distinguished and distinct from the majors, right? The majors have the LIV players by and large, not all of them. This does not. And the one thing the players had worked for and worked hard to accomplish was make it as approximate to that major feel. I don't think they hammered the talking point of where the fifth major as much as the media sort of debated and intimated that. But they worked to approximate it, whether they said it out loud or not. And now you have a red flashing light that shows how they are not more than anything. You know, all the other stuff's subjective, like, oh, the course, or, you know, the identity that the purse is the richest purse in golf, which it doesn't necessarily have with LIV either. But there is an objective, distinct reason, not just sports writers debating over whether it's a major. It's we don't have the LIV players. The Masters does have Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil, whoever, Neiman now, whoever you want to say. And the U.S. Open has that potential, a lot of those guys. That is a big blow to its argument. And obviously that it underlies the overall blow that we've talked about now with the PGA Tour. And so I'm excited to watch this. I know that sounds hard to believe maybe after what we've just talked about. Like, we're going to be home for the weekend. We're going to watch this overnight or late night here, Thursday, Friday. We're excited about it. I'm excited to watch the players. It's just, think about one of the most amusing, most fun moments in this podcast history. It was the great fan vote Friday debacle.
I had a note here. They should have brought it back. They didn't.
And think about who could have been up for that when we overthrew Ricky Tour Live to get Ricky bounced out for, what was it, Keegan Bradley?
No, it was Martin Keimer.
Martin Keimer.
Adam Scott.
I think it was Keegan.
No, it was another former champion.
Oh, okay. A players' championship. God. Yeah. Scott Stenson. Scott Keimer and Stenson.
Yeah.
Was who we overthrew. Ricky Spieth. Ricky Spieth and I think Brooks people. One of the great moments. We rallied the democratic process. We got out the vote. And I'm just
thinking. I
think
thinking, we won like 50.9 to 40.
Not just us. By the way, all of golf internet, No Layup played a huge part in that. Kyle Porter. Like, it was just a real moment of a win for the golf internet.
I think back to that, and I just love that the tweets in support were like, do the right thing and vote for Stenson, Scott, and Martin Keimer.
Oh, their tour was not happy.
Oh, then then years later, I'm at a Masters party, and I run into someone that like was very involved with the fan vote Friday.
With the tour, yeah.
And he says to me, you know, we were contractually obligated to do that. And I go, oh, we were well aware. Yeah.
So I was thinking about that.
The guy basically, the first thing he said to me that night was, You really jammed us.
You jammed us. We jammed you on that one. But it's really the will of the people. We didn't do anything. It's the will of the people. We didn't do anything. But I was thinking, like, what would be the groups up for a fan vote Friday? It's just, it's a little thinner.
I think you'd get into this, you know, Charlie Hoffman, Sam Stevens, Sammy Palamaki might be in there.
It's just lighter. We'll get to favorite tee times here in a moment. I think so far the big thing has been Jay Monahan. We're recording this Wednesday morning in Ireland. Jay Monahan talked for an hour on Tuesday. No one else has talked really. Scotty, Xander, Cantlay. We'll get to a few of their quotes too. But you know, Rory hasn't talked. Ricky, I don't know why. JT, Spieth, those types. But Jay Monahan talked for an hour. This has become a Players' Championship tradition in a way. He has to talk. He goes up there. It's been 6 months, really, since he talked at length in an in an open format where he could get any question, theoretically.
How about just going 30 minutes, basically?
He does that. He did that. I mean, well, let's think about this. 2 years ago, it was legacy, not leverage. We're moving on. Whoops. Right? Last year, it's, you know, we're stronger than ever. This is how the tour is going to look in 24, 25, 26, and 27. They had just come out with the new signature, or I guess at that point it was
designated
event model. 3 months later, they merge, or the framework agree, whatever you want to call it. And this year, it's like, how do you take whatever this opening intro is with any kind of stability or long-term, to use Xander's talking, trust. I don't want to suggest, like, he was getting hammered on Twitter. We were following it as we were playing Port Stewart, which feels like a much more enjoyable experience than following it.
I have to say that not watching that live and playing golf, and then, you know, it was like its own cup of coffee this morning. I woke up.
Yeah, you threw it on.
Laying in bed, watching it. Just felt ready to attack the day when I came out of it.
He was getting crushed on Twitter, which is like, I think he could have said, I'm giving $100,000 to every single person watching this right now, and he still would have gotten crushed. Like, that's just the nature of...
I mean, everybody... I think what's comical about
Twitter,
I just think this is like a comical thing, is that when the ship was going down,
yeah,
everybody's rhetoric was, oh, what could he couldn't do anything about this. What could he do? And now that we hit the iceberg, the ship was heading right for the iceberg. Nobody said anything. Now that we've hit the iceberg and all the things are falling out, everybody wants him gone. Everybody has their knives out for him. When, to be fair, I think the majority of his mistakes were made 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, with the foresight to
the negligence to not take the Saudis at all seriously is what got him here.
And sort of burying your head in the sand and not think that they were an actual threat and think that just because of the PGA Tour, you could keep your shit together.
And yesterday, for what it's worth, like, I don't want to overreact. Like, what do you want? What, the guy can't really say a lot because there's a lot of, like, stuff that's not out there. If you're the commissioner of the PGA Tour, you can't just go up there and speculate as to where you think. You can't say, like, oh, the deal's here. And we're here, you know. I think that it's kind of insane how much criticism went his way.
Well,
I think, like, he's not great. He's terrible at press conferences.
He's bad.
But there's not a lot he could say. And everybody asked him basically the same question.
What's
rephrased.
Going on? Yeah. What's going on with the PIF? Do you feel bad about losing players?
I will say, between Monahan, Cantlay, Scotty, it feels like the fans have actually kind of moved up a little bit. I pulled this this Cantlay quote, and I don't mean to bounce around here.
No, you're good.
Monahan mentioned, he said, players, fans, partners. We've never been number two.
We're moving up. The voice, we've come a long way since Fan Vote Friday was simply a little breadcrumb they threw at us and didn't think it would come anything come of it. But we're moving up in the rankings.
For years, it felt like it was players, partners, and then it was almost like he forgot. Volunteers.
Television partners. Yeah.
Fans. Also fans. Fans were firmly number two today.
Moat operator. Drawbridge operator. All right. Fans.
Cantley's press conference was mostly about Jake Knapp.
Well, just speaks to like sort of the lack of momentum coming in. But nothing against Knapp. Seems like a great talent, unique story. A lot of Knapp buzz.
Four Jake Knapp questions in Patrick Cantley's
what
press
conference. What are we doing?
That's not a good sign.
No.
All right. Here's a question about the investors. What has been their main feedback, for lack of a better term, since they've come on and maybe meet that evaluation they invested into? Valuation, I
the
think.
Evaluation.
Yeah,
the money valuation.
Typo here.
Yep.
Cantlay. Yeah, I think you've heard it from some guys over the last couple weeks. It is just really trying to focus on getting the product back to serving the fans. I think that's, you know, the most important thing is giving the fans what they want to see and giving the fans the opportunity to see us both on the course and then also behind the scenes. To me, to hear this come out of Patrick Cantlay's mouth, which through this entire process, he's, you know, seemingly been the most selfish.
Seemingly. Let's just seemingly put that qualifier on there.
We're not in the room. But seemingly been the most selfish, you know, playing multiple sides, really looking for, like, how do we get the most money to the top players? This is a big departure, and I think...
You put stock in it?
I put stock in that they're going to try and do some stuff for the fans. I don't put stock in that these people actually know what the fans want or how to make a fan-centric product.
Right. Right.
So I think that there is a little bit of a shift in the tour mentality. People that expected like the whole world of golf that's completely undecided to be the whole plan laid out yesterday,
No.
I think that's what a lot of people entered that press conference like, we're going to get a lot of answers.
No, I hope they didn't. I hope that. I just think like we got done and there's just like, oh, he's botching it again. Or this is a mess. It's silly to analyze press conferences. And I guess that we're going to talk about this for too long. But like that's also speaks to maybe how ancillary the golf tournament feels right now, or lack of enthusiasm around the actual golf tournament, speaking of product. But he did fine. I thought he was fine. There's not a lot to say. He never does well at press conferences. It's not a strong suit. Speaking of suits, they're still ill-fitting. You know, he's got the like that's he just doesn't project himself well in press conference. That's fine. It's a weakness of his. He's strong probably at other things. People have weaknesses. But he did fine. He got testy. Like people said he got angry. He was rude to Adam Shupak. I didn't think so. I didn't think even on that. Maybe I'm being too...
Are we being Monahan apologists?
We're being Monahan apologists. Maybe I'm being too lenient. We've come to Ireland and we've gotten away from the big thumb of the tour and we're now Monahan. I thought he was fine with that. He said, I just answered your question. He didn't really answer the question, but he's not going to answer the question. You've lost, guys. And I didn't think he was super rude. Maybe in the room it felt more tense. Maybe in the room it felt more unwarranted. I didn't think that was a big deal either. So, like you said, he reiterated, like, we can't like negotiate this deal in public. I can't lay out all the terms we're debating or thinking about or why we're not there or why we think we're going to get there. So he said that.
Can I say the most alarming thing? The most alarming thing from the press conference, and I think this is being skirted under the rug.
Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention.
Sure.
We've heard from a very on-the-ground source that the golf course is extraordinarily soft.
Was that in the press conference, though? They didn't ask him about the course conditions.
He said at the top of the press conference, the perfect, like he basically, I didn't pull the exact quote, but he illuminated that the golf course is in absolute perfect shape.
Well, the perfect shape by whose idea of perfect?
So this is where I'm getting that the tour's ideal perfect shape is bright green and pillow soft.
Right. Well, this is the identity of the players. Mud balls when it hasn't rained in 10 days.
So this is, to me, when you talk about product and fans, this is the problem. Like, I think they're starting to see that there should go this direction. I just have no faith that these people understand what putting a good golf product together is.
Championship management on the controls this week.
I mean, it's a pillow. It's going to be a pillow out there. Yeah. I want to watch guys just have a giant margin, a giant increased margin for error because we've made the course so soft the ball never rolls.
Yeah.
The virtues, the beauty of this golf course is in the precision, and the precision is enhanced when the golf course is firm and the ball runs. But these guys just, all they want to do is make it green as shit. And it's a detriment to the tournament. It's a detriment to the fans. And it's a detriment to the product.
Green as shit. Sounds like kind of a contradiction. Green as shit. But no, I get what you're saying. You're trying to be emphatic. Speaking of, is that the real Emerald Isle, the 17th? We are on maybe this. Well, that's the fake Emerald Isle. It's overseeded, juiced, fertilized. Push mode and raked up all around. The fake Emerald Isle, 17th at Sawgrass. We are over at the real Emerald Isle. It's not as green. It's certainly not as green as some of the overheads we're seeing from TPC Sawgrass this week. But it's been a delight. There's a little golden brown to some of these links, Links Land we're playing. If you'd like to get over here, you can go to ireland.com/golf. Been an amazing trip. We're up in Northern Ireland. We're doing that jaunt. We're up on the north coast now. We've done Newcastle. We've done a little bit of Belfast. We're doing Port Rush and Port Stewart. We're kind of, you set our itinerary. You looked around. You picked the courses. This is what we want to do. This is where we want to go. This is what we want to see. And kind of try to capture for you guys. North coast has been amazing.
I'm hoping today that we can stop. There's a couple courses. We're driving to Port Stewart yesterday, and you're just driving along the road, and there's this course, Ballyreg.
Yeah.
Which is just like,
might be
this like little short
it.
Course. Yeah. It's on the coast. It's like right on the coast. And
just
I'm looking
see
at it.
Organically.
It's like nobody's out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, if this place was in America, then you drive. Literally, it's just connected to it is the old course at Port Stewart. So it's like another town course. See, just you're hitting over cliffs at this one. And there's one person out there. And it's like, if you put these places in America,
I mean, it's cold at this. I mean, it's not. It's March. We're coming out of it. But yes,
nobody talks about these places, and these places would be talked about widely.
Yeah,
and then
you go up the hill.
Yeah,
you play Port Stewart. Play the front nine. It's like some of the most dramatic dunes land courses you'll ever see.
Yeah,
dune land holes, I should say.
Great town. This North Coast, I would come here with my family. I think, and the thing about it is, you could play like the valley. Like if you don't have like the Port Rush Dunluce tee time, you can book it last minute, and you could play the Valley course, which I think Tom Doak said is like the most underrated course in all of Ireland.
Yeah.
And then you could play Port Stewart. Like you can get tee times there. We're going to Castle Rock today, which looks pretty cool too. But then you could go play these little gems too.
There were about three or four times yesterday when we were kind of in Port Stewart that I was like, I would like to come here with my family, or I wish my family was here and like we could have a day. Like, yeah. I know there's like golf should be prominently, prominent reason for coming here, at least if you're a listener of this podcast, but it feels like you can serve both.
I think that's the thing with this coast. I mean, we went to Giants Causeway, which was really cool. It was beautiful. And then there's all sorts of other stuff. I mean
they're like vacation towns. They're summer vacation towns for a lot of, Ireland and GB.
Are you going to get on the Ferris wheel today in Portrush?
No. I'm out on Ferris wheels. Get out of here with the
you're
Ferris
lucky.
Wheel.
You're
going to make me go on the Ferris wheel?
It's not an operation right now. I don't think it's in the winter. Yeah. Or you could go see Bomber at the Harbor Bar.
There's people swimming yesterday at Port Stewart. Like, it's a big surf town.
I don't want to get in there.
You dipped your toes. It was nice out yesterday. Anyways, the real Emerald Isle. Visit ireland.com/golf to start planning your trip. We've been enthused. We've been invigorated by this one. All right, back to the fake Emerald Isle, TPC Sawgrass. Do we want to talk about Jay Monahan? He talked about his job security.
Do you want to talk about it more?
What do you want to say?
I don't want to talk about Jay Monahan. Let's talk about the golf tournament. The guy just got appointed the chairman of the PGA Tour Enterprises. Why are we talking about his job security?
He's got doubly security. No. He's double chairman or double boss.
I think the guy is locked in for the near future. I don't think... Here's the thing. Until there's a deal made, you can't talk about a new commissioner until the thing's done, because nobody in their right mind wants to take this job right now that's a good candidate.
Yeah.
So whatever you
he's
think
been humbled
about Jay
by the
Monahan,
framework agreement role. I've been humbled by it. I've been learned from it. So that's where the criticism is. So you don't want to talk about a shared vision to quiet the noise and unlock golf's worldwide potential. Believe it or not, Andy, that came in the prepared statement, the prepared remarks. That's the legacy, not leverage quote for this year. Quiet the noise and unlock golf's worldwide potential, which, it's gobbledygook, but that's the point. They need to unlock or come together and stop the bullshit.
This is a yearly tradition. You've gone over everything he said in the last few years. Honest question. I want your honest belief. Do you think next year we're talking about the same thing?
Yes. Yes.
No resolution coming
anytime.
I think
we're talking about what's the future look like. This has happened. Now we're talking about a lack of clear future. Or questions, certainly significant questions about the format, the organization, and the future. Does a deal intervene? Sure, probably. But how is it working? What the hell is happening? I think we're doing that again. He seems to be at least acknowledging that it is in the best interest of everyone to get together with the PIF at this point. It's a departure from the Spieth quotes from Pebble. It's a reality check on some of that. At least he's acknowledging it without giving specifics on where they're at. But he goes, if we're ultimately back in the same posture that we're in if we don't negotiate this deal. And we haven't unified the game and taken advantage of this unique point in time. So that's that. Other quotes, I thought Scheffler cracked me up. They talked about him with the tour. I haven't really put the whole lot of thought, honestly, into what would make me feel good about this. He's just not even thinking about the deal. Just focused on his golf game. He had a good one where he said, a good one in that it was interesting. He said, if fans want to be mad, look at the LIV players. They're the ones that left. We were all in the same tour. They're the ones that splintered this thing. If fans want to be mad at the diluted product, they're the guys that left, and we were all together. It's an interesting quote. It's a good quote. I think it underlines the sort of the issues with bringing people back together and having to kind of, take one for the team or whatever, to take one for golf if you're one of the players who stayed loyal, and that those problems continue. But it's not inaccurate.
It's not. It's 100% accurate. The majority of the I think the majority of the frustration is with those guys.
Yep.
I think there's also frustration on the tour side of just like, let's get over with this. Let's put this aside, because it's very clear that you know, they're on the doorstep of getting a deal done. Is it clear? I think they're talking about it, and I think that one of the issues is that maybe the PIF is moving the goalposts a little bit in those negotiations, but I think there's, you know, the majority of the frustration should be a frustration of what's happened should be with the guys that went to live. I mean, that's 1,000% sure, true. I think there's also a thing where like the tour could really change for the better, and I don't think that happens without the guys going to live.
Yep.
And then there's the third thing of, all right, what's done is done, and this needs to happen for the good of the game, for the good of the men's professional game. These guys got to get together, and the tour players are being a little bit immature with how they.
I think you can understand their position.
I can. I do.
Why they're like, it's a hard one.
It's super hard, but it's just, we've gotten to this point where like, look at the player. This tournament underlies the issues in men's professional golf more so than any other tournament in the world.
They're sticking around, and
they just think they have more leverage than they do.
Well, we'll get to favorite tee times here in a minute. Speaking of leverage, last couple ones I enjoyed Cantlay and Xander, who were in the room. They're, you know, we haven't heard from others, just refusing to boost Jay Monahan's job security. Listen, we've already talked about, we don't need to get in his job, but it was interesting. Xander, trust is something that's pretty tender, so words are words. In my book, he has a long way to go to gain the trust of the membership. I'm sure he's got the support of the board since they were with him making some of the decisions, but for me personally, he's got quite a long way to go. Great. Xander, like, Xander isn't, his voice isn't powerful enough for that to matter. Now, can he rally others? Yeah, but I don't know. It feels like
you
want to
check in on their top 10 weeks in the top 10.
Tail wagging the dog a little bit. Can't like refusing to answer it, just kind of moving on directly. Interesting. Fine. It just feels like those guys shouldn't be wagging the dog.
Can I ask you a golf question?
Yeah, let's move.
What would you say is the best case scenario for the tour this week? And what would you say is the worst case scenario?
Matthew Pavon winning.
Worst case.
I don't know. I mean, there's.
It's. I think it's like. I think it's a fluke winner. Yeah. Is the worst case, obviously.
Yeah. A great one. Best case is. I mean, it's always like. Spieth, Rory. Battling
Scotty,
like. You throw in a Ludwig, like a young guy doing well. That's not like a best case, but it's very good for the overall argument.
I think I actually was going to say, I think a young guy winning. Yeah. They need somebody with a little bit more pop. They need another guy with pop.
God, Tiger just not playing is not good either. I mean, I'm not suggesting the tour should be still relying on that, but it gives you another marquee group. You know, they'd always put Tiger and Phil would still be marquee groups, even if you know they were about to go out and shoot 75. They hated, like, never played well here the last 10 years. So, yeah, they need a young guy. That's not going to bring in the numbers, but they need a young guy.
I think they just need another star in the making, and winning a tournament like this, albeit a weakened version of it.
Yeah.
Would really propel one of those younger guys that, you know, the Ludwig, Minwoo Lee, you know, maybe he's a little bit too far down the board, but
what's your worst case?
I mean, the worst case is like Charlie Hoff.
What if Lucas Glover gets rolling the rock?
Lucas Glover. How about Lucas Glover?
Laying into the new designated.
I appreciate it. He's been consistent. He was against it before he was in him. He gets hot, takes that, runs the ball into a spot in the TGL on the Atlanta drive. And then he's still consistent now.
Yeah.
I mean, so I look at these, like, I think big time wins. I think Wyndham Clark would actually be like a real, real big. I don't think he's going to win. I don't think this is necessarily a great golf course for him.
You think if he won, it would be what?
I mean,
bad or good?
Great.
For the tour.
He win the U.S. Open, Pebble, and this, all in the Wells Fargo, all in a calendar year.
I guess. You think that's great for the tour that he wins?
I mean, they need another guy to become.
Got a lot of guys. Just
they
guys.
Need another guy to become a big time name. How do you get? Because right now they're recognizable names. They have like four for the general fan. How do you possibly get to five? And who are the players that can get you to five?
As you're thinking, saying that, I'm just thinking of, like, you play your way into a big time name that's poachable. Like, play your way, like, Rom, oh, like, is, what? That's the thing. They got to remove that. Because Wyndham Clark is just on the fence about going. And if he plays his way in and he gets the bag goes up, it's just a thing that got to eliminate it.
Like, Sahith. What if Sahith won?
It'd be great. I think that would be a great one.
I think that's the best case outside of
Rory Spieth, that kind of thing.
Scheffler. Yeah. Scheffler winning would be, you know, really like, oh, is this guy dominant?
JT or Ricky doing anything for you in that regard? It'd be good for the tour. Maybe not the same level. Should we do some favorite teams?
I don't know if Ricky winning would be good for the tour. Set him back down the Ricky Tour Live road.
A lot of social clips they could cut out for the next 5 years.
It'd be good. It'd be great.
Yeah. Should we do some favorite tee times? Tee times are out. We've talked about the golf course. We've talked about the golf course every year since we've done this podcast. Is the 12th change? I'm sure it's changed. We can talk about 12 every year. What's happened
there?
Well,
like, one thing to monitor here. Stevie Wenzloff is out.
Yeah.
Davis Love III is in.
Yep.
You got a new consulting architect down there. And I think it'll be interesting to watch what the next 10 years of TPC Sawgrass is. It'd be amazing if they could kind of get with the modern golf architecture trends and agronomy trends.
You think that's going to happen?
No, I don't, but it would be great if it did. I'm going to, you know, hope.
Yep.
I'm trying to be optimistic here. Yep. You're trying to jam me.
No, I'm
make
just
me a negative.
I asked you, do you think that's going to happen? I don't see, like, there's a presentation aspect to this tournament.
Yeah,
I think
I think there's some stuff with the golf course that could be improved.
Sure.
And it's a great golf course. It's a great test.
Maybe one of the best on the PGA Tour.
I think one of the things that's hard for it is, like, over the years, the driver, and I think the soft conditions actually help this. So if you're going to punch back on me, you know, soft conditions do make it a little bit more of a driver course. But, like, over the years, I mean, it's amazing that Jay Monahan and the tour doesn't see the distance, the thing that the golf ball and technology's done to the golf course, when, like, their prized golf course has become less of a test because of distance. It used to be you hit driver almost everywhere out here, and now there's a lot of holes that driver's too much for these guys.
Yeah.
So it's such a golf course that you have to operate at such precision on. And it really does a good job of testing. Like, your short game's an underrated skill here, because you got to get it up and down from a lot of places. You're going to miss greens, and then you have these really tough up and downs. It's obviously a very, very big approach play course, and then you have to keep it in play off the tee. Yeah.
Should the 17th be redesigned? No.
Do you think?
No, we're not getting into that. No, it's a great course. There is a familiarity with it each year over year. Just like to see it conditioned a little different. Let's do some favorite tee times. Flipping through this tee sheet this morning, it's just evident. Like, obviously, some of the star power that's lost, right? You talked about marquee groups. We don't need to get into that too much. By the way, every shot live.
Gone.
Apparently back.
Back.
But almost nothing out there. I dig. Remember, this was like a prominent story. According to Josh Carpenter of Sports Business Journal, it is back this year. I don't see a mention of it anywhere else. The tour hasn't talked about it. The tour is not mentioning it. They're not promoting it on their website. ESPN Plus did not promote it in anything. It's apparently back. I don't understand, like, a monumental undertaking. Big task. Again, requires player buy-in. Agents of players buying in. Agents getting mad that, you know, Rory Sabatini's being hit into, and there's all of a sudden a viral clip now, or like the Keith Mitchell clip that was scrubbed last year. Like if you want to talk about putting product first, that's an issue. But again,
it's also a reason that they need to remove the 1,000-pound gorilla that's just looming over all of golf coverage. Because I don't...
What's that?
The deal. That's...
Yeah.
Listen, like, golf writers, golf personalities are looking for engagement. And right now, what gets you the most engagement, what gets you the most clicks, what gets you the most viral social stuff is going to be, you know, making big proclamations on the current state of men's golf. And instead of, if that is removed, then all of a sudden the focus comes on things about the golf tournament, like an Every Shot Live.
Yeah, but again, it's a member the same way the driver is not being talked about, or the ball, or the conditions are what they are, right? You have a lot of players who have a lot of power collectively, and certainly sometimes individually. Like, I don't know, just thinking of the Keith Mitchell, like, is the agent of Keith Mitchell, the agent of like Jordan Spieth calling up and like, because they have an issue, now all of a sudden Every Shot Live is slowed. That's just hypothetical. I'm not saying that happened at all, but continues to be the issue. Every Shot Live, though, apparently back, not a lot of promotion. We'll see how it works, or if it's going to be tough to find. Let's figure out some favorite tee times. Do you have one you'd like to go with? And then we'll do worst tee time.
Earnestly favorite tee time?
Both.
I'm really interested. I think one of the best stories in golf is Zalatoris' comeback.
Mm-hmm.
So as we keep building towards the Masters, I am excited to keep watching Will Zalatoris get back. I think the last part of this comeback is the speed. He's a little bit slower than he used to be. And he underwent... Luke Curdenin did a really nice piece on like how he changed his swing.
Yeah.
I think the last piece, like, can we see the speed continue to creep up? Because like that, the driver right before that last year before the injury had become such a weapon because he had gotten... I mean, he's so good with it, but he'd gotten so long. And I think... if that speed, I think it's like a couple miles an hour, but if he can keep gaining speed, I would expect him to keep gaining speed.
Yeah.
I think that's
who's
something
he with?
To watch. He's with Tony Finau and Shane Lowry.
Oh, I had them. Yeah. That's a great group. Mm-hmm. I would watch that. I'd try it. Like, Lowry can get interesting when he gets hot. Finau, of course, that's a good one.
I do think that also like underpins like where we're at with the tour.
There's a lot that underpins where we're at with the tour.
It's a fascinating undercard, but that group 4 years ago, that it would be different names in there, but that group would be
the where we're at award.
Like,
I gave
a hipster group.
I gave the Knapp, Pavon, and Dunlap. I said, like, this is just, they just didn't even think twice. We're just going to throw them all together. Kind of demonstrates where we're at. We've been this year. that like interesting stories in their own right.
I'm just happy they didn't make Dunlap play by himself
at Bay Hill. Another like earnest good one.
Where did he play by himself? He played at Rib by himself too.
I thought it was last. Oh, was it Bay? Was it Rib?
He's played twice this year by himself.
No marker, nothing. Odd number. Not that they do mark.
They don't even let the local pro get out there in the marker.
No. Another earnest one I liked is Hideki. I think like along with Alatoris, Hideki playing well again this year. Certainly Riviera played well again last week for most of Bay Hill.
That's my pick.
You got him winning, or he's your pick to win.
My one and done.
All right. Hideki's with Fitz and Homa. I find that to be an earnestly interesting group I'd watch.
Great group. You want one of the shotgun start delight?
Yes.
You got the Candyman, Vincent Norman.
I had this.
The Septic Tank and Big Bill, Chez Reavie.
They did not do Chez any favors, putting him next to the Septic Tank. I mean, it's going to look like the tank could put him in a papoose and carry him down or one of those baby Bjorns and carry him around the course all day. You know, that's a big difference in just size on the tee, but I love that tee time. The Septic Tank and Big Bill along with the Candyman.
Can I say I'm monitoring something?
What? What are you monitoring?
I'm monitoring Sep. He's out of the squares.
Scares.
Yeah.
And what, is he falling off? The ground forces aren't being used anymore.
So he's 299 off the tee last year.
Uh-huh.
This year he is, let's see, let's find it.
Well, he got his Ryder Cup.
He's 289. He's down 10 yards. Now, it was a wet, cold West Coast swing.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like you're...
So this is why I'm monitoring.
Like you're saying, somebody can't throw the football if they play in 30 mile an hour snowstorm.
So we're just monitoring, but this is alarming.
And we are also, to be clear, have zero affiliation or financial arrangement with Scares and or Squares.
But he's down 10 yards. And he lost. I mean, we've heard Faldo for years talk about the distance to arrive to Squares.
Faldo's been chirping us on the ads forever about that.
So this is just something to monitor. This is something, you know, for sickos to look at week after week. Yeah. What is going on with Septic Tank? Is distance is falling off a cliff? I gotta look at the club head speed. The club head speed. Let's see the club head speed. Let's find it.
Another
112 last year.
Yeah.
112.68. Let's see what it is this year. This might give us a better barometer.
Yeah, it might blow up your whole Scares product placement here.
110.82. He's down 2 miles per hour.
We need equity in Scares.
I feel like you didn't see that one coming.
No, that's good. I like it. An earnest one. I'll throw an earnest one at you. The good guys group. Alex Noren, Thomas, don't call me Thomas, Dietrich, and Joseph Bramlett. I don't know. Just all seems like pretty good guys with good perspective, normal dudes. I've listened to them all talk at varying points, and they feel like people the tour should embrace and insights they should listen to. Yeah.
Ben Coles. Yeah, playing his first players.
KFT number one last year. Yeah. That's his exemption.
He's had just like a crazy career.
Crazy.
He won his first two starts as a pro on the Korn Ferry Tour. It's just like a great example of the long winding path of a pro where you get... He played some of the best golf of his life right when he turns pro. Then he had years of struggles. I'm sure there were times where he was like, what am I doing? And what am I like? Am I going to stay out here? I think like a lot of the guys that are grinding on the Korn Ferry Tour, when they hit like age 30, that's something that pops in their mind. Is like, what am I going to do if this doesn't work?
Yep.
He's 34 and he's playing his first players, and just someone that has made it work and has gotten to near the top of the game through a lot of work and a lot of ups and downs. And I just think that I was just looking at the first time players press conference list, and I was like, oh, Ben Cole, so I'm glad he's there.
That's good. Yeah, I agree. I watched him for a while at sectionals last year.
Nice guy.
Gets hot and gets not. You know, it falls.
Played well at PR last week. He's coming in hot.
Yeah. Just a couple quick rapid fire feature earnest groups. Hovland, McIlroy, Spieth is probably the best tee time in the sheet. You got Adam Scott, Ludvig, and Cantlay, a very strong group I'd love to watch. I was amused Ricky is getting moved back up to the big leagues.
Well, he has to.
He got called up. Well, at Riv, he was with Mackenzie Hughes and Patrick Rogers. That's not like the Ricky territory typically. He's now with Scotty and JT. Those are kind of your three main groups. A interesting one. Let's do worst group. Do you have a nomination for worst tee times? What'd you say? Hoffman?
Hoffman, Sam Stevens, and Val Macchi.
I mean,
Chan Kim, Skins, and Jimmy Stanger.
Well, that's...
I'm a big fan of David Skins. You might not find a bigger fan of David Skins. You'll find a couple. I think Ryan French probably owns the David Skins, and Nick McKay... On the David Skins corner, but like I'm in the fan club.
So what you've just highlighted here, you've highlighted almost an entire exemption category, which Hoffman's in it, Valmaki's in it, Chan Kim's in it, Skins, Stanger. They just threw them all together. Didn't even try. But like Kim, Skins, and Stanger below top 10 in current year's FedEx Cup standings is the exemption. I mean, below? You and I are below the top 10. We're all below the top 10, aside from 10 people. What does that even mean? But Skins, Stainer, and Kim are in that below top 10. And they just threw them all together. Like, oh, just who cares? Just put them together.
How about Aaron Baddeley in this field?
Still? What? Why? How?
I'm just amazed about Aaron Baddeley in general.
Like, it's an amazing, winding career if you talk about that.
I mean, he was the guy as an amateur. I this popped into my head because I was at, when we were at Royal County Down, I was investigating. They had the 99 British Am at RCD, and Baddeley was in it. He got to also other names in that Nicholas Kolsarts, he missed the cut. Trevor Immelman was in it. I mean, it was amazing to go through that list.
Yep. Can I give you my worst tee time?
Yeah.
I need you to lock in here.
Yeah.
I opened the tee sheet, immediately found it. Troy Merritt.
Taylor Pendrick, that right off the bat.
And Taylor Montgomery. The triple T. Taylor,
and Troy.
And Troy. Can I talk to you about something, Andy? Lock in here from Troy Merritt. So I had to look. I was like, God, I feel like we haven't seen him in forever. He's a pro. He's won. Troy Merritt is in via top 125 on the FedEx Cup standings from the prior year through the fall. And we need to think of this in light of Rory's cutthroat comments, you know, last week, Wyndham Clark, but does the tour need to get leaner and meaner? Troy Merritt finished last year's regular season, so Greensboro, 133rd in the FedEx Cup standings. But you play the fall for this exemption, he gets to 124th. So he's 124th
at those fall events.
Last year during the regular season, he made one cut from the end of January to the end of June. One cut. That's 6 months. He made one cut. He missed all the other cuts.
Oh, boy.
He missed 19 cuts. He made 14. Missed more than he made.
What was his best finish?
His best finish in that stretch was a T23, I believe, at the Puerto Rico Open.
What was his best finish?
Or this year. I'm sorry. His best finish this year is a T23 at the Puerto Rico Open. So since that's the last 3 months. His best finish, he did a T7 and T9 at the Sanderson and Fortinet in the fall. So that's how he gets from 133 to 124. His last win was the 2018 Barbasol. Like, that was 6 years ago. It was an opposite field event.
I'm going to say something that's gonna make you mad.
He missed 19 cuts. We like Troy Merritt. We've done a fan vote, a flashback fan vote, whatever it was, Friday segment on Troy Merritt. A lot of intrigue about Troy Merritt.
The Sanderson shouldn't get points.
I understand. Yeah, it kind of doesn't, but there's this category of, like, FedEx Cup top 125 through the fall. I'm sorry, Andy, like, he shouldn't be in playing for a $25 million purse. The field, like, this is playing opportunities, bloat, kind of laid bare. He was 133rd last year, missed 19 cuts, and made only 14. His best finish in this 3 months is a T23 in an opposite field. He had three top 10s last year. Two of them came in the fall at Sanderson and Fortinet. He's done stuff. He's a real pro. He's won twice. One was the opposite. Like, he's kept his card for a long time. I just don't know that kind of run of form, and I'm not talking 3 months, we're talking now like 18 months, should be in this field playing for $25 million. He hasn't won a major, like a, you know, like Francesco Molinari's in this on a 5-year open exemption. That, I guess, makes sense. Doesn't have the form to probably
doesn't
be
make
in
sense.
It.
Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't have the form to probably be in it.
There should be,
but when we talk
zero
about bloat
exemptions
and cutthroat, I think this is kind of it. When you look at the numbers and look at the results, what are, like, this guy, this is a guy who hasn't got a hit in a major league game in 3 months. You send him down. He doesn't play for the $25 million purse. So anyways, you just look at the tee sheet and there's a little bit of that this week. And some of it speaks to the loss of star power. Some of it speaks to the, I don't know, should this event be smaller? I don't necessarily think so. 144 they've got.
I don't know. It's a great question. I think some of the bottom of this field illuminates it illuminates what maybe it should be smaller, but I also would contend that if there were 15 players that are playing on LIV, that on the PGA Tour, Torrey Merritt's not in the field.
No.
And I think that's, like, again, the deep-rooted issue here is that with 15 to 20 more guys from LIV, and people are going to push back. It's like we just saw one of the LIV's players that's been really disappointing since he left, Abe Anser, win, right?
Yep.
Abe Anser would be a top 125 player.
Sure. Sure.
He was like 20th in the world when he left. If you had those guys, this field is so much better. So much better.
This is,
and it's the bottom that shows it the most. I mean, I think the top this week is showing it a lot, but the bottom, I think, is where it gets really hairy for the PGA Tour.
This is crazy. I don't want to do more Merritt, but let's start. He had a T65 at Sony last year. That's basically making the cut on the number and finishing almost DFL. He then missed every cut and got a T13 at the Zurich, a two-man event.
Team event.
That's April. So we're talking Sony.
Got points. Got a lot of points.
65th at Sony, T13 at Zurich. After that, it's T17 at Rocket, T17 at Deer. Like,
shitty fields.
Strong fields. T50 at Barracuda. And T58 at Wyndham. Those are the cuts he made from January 1 to the end of the regular season. Then he went on a run in the fall where he got two top 10s, Sanderson and Fortinet. Sorry. I don't want to, like, we like Troy Merritt. I just, like, looking at the numbers, it's like, I don't know.
I think he's going to jam you this week.
I hope he goes. Let's do, we were on Todd Watch. Let's put Merritt Watch out there. He's going to be reading his Harry
Wizard
Potter
Watch.
Books. And
Wizard Watch.
Wizard Watch. Wizard Watch. All right. That does it. We got schedule for the week. It's it. All we've got is the Players' Championship.
Event of the week. Event of the week is on what was it? On Monday?
Yeah. Monday, yeah.
There's a hotly contested ladies in her club, Port Stewart versus Royal Port Rush.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, as you can imagine, those two clubs, those are rivals. They're like 10 minutes away. Both great courses. Port Rush obviously has a little bit more prominence with the Open and the history. But
well, Port Stewart's the fancy club in town.
Yeah, maybe. I people have different opinions.
Higher dues.
I feel like half the people here are yanking our chain, whether it's the best Guinness or this, that. Like, you kind of have to keep your guard up on some of this.
I think
everybody's
trying to
look
trying
these two
to,
idiots. Yeah, so we could tell them anything. Yeah. Yeah, but they were ahead of us. Let's see.
Not
event of
Bomber,
the week,
though.
Not your guy Bomber pouring pints. What a fascinating life Bomber's got. Pours pints at Harbor Bar, caddies at Terra Edie. It's like, all I do is I pour pints, I caddy, I play golf. It's not a bad life. So
check out the Explorations pod.
We got a little bit of Bomber. Yeah. We might have more Bomber.
We got a big guest coming on there.
Maybe.
A local boy.
Yeah. Owns a coffee shop in Port Stewart. Oh, you're talking about the other local boy.
Maybe another local too tonight. We'll see.
Yeah, we're working on something. Check out that. So that's your event of the week. Port Stewart versus Royal Port Rush. Ladies inner club matches. We were told it would be a fierce, fierce battle. It was. But otherwise, schedule for the week is Players Championship 1-7 golf.
Who's your one and done pick?
I was going to throw it out there. I think, can we not make this complicated? The defending champ, the guy who's playing the best golf in the world.
Oh, now you're on tilt. You wanted to take Precision him last week. This is not a good space to operate in.
Most priciest purse payout. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel here. I'm going with Scottie Scheffler execution test. We've seen it.
Real story to watch. I think like putting can be super streaky. I think it's an obvious storyline, but this is something to watch. And so I think the putter, I saw he doesn't use the line to line up the ball anymore, which I think is awesome. I think that's like a more natural
get rid of the lines on the ball.
Yeah, they should.
I think it's kind of,
I don't use it. I stand over the ball if I use the line and I'm standing looking at it and all I can think about is this lined up wrong?
That was the worst when you'd caddy for someone in the club and like they'd make you kind of like line, like get real close and check their own line on the ball. Like, is that right? Got that? I was like, God, get these lines off the ball. Let's keep it moving. All right. I think that does it for this Players Championship-ish preview. Everyone enjoy your Wednesdays. We'll be back with you on Friday. We're going to watch. We're going to have great primetime viewing here.
We'll see what Friday's episode is. It might be a different episode.
I think we'll be okay. We'll figure it out. We're going to watch prime time. We'll figure it out. We're going to record from Ireland. And then we'll be back on U.S. soil on the weekend, do our Players Championship preview or recap, I should say, Sunday night. All right. Check out Explorations. Great feed. We've got going some kind of on the ground stuff happening here in Northern Ireland. People seem to enjoy the sort of coming along on the trip nature of those podcasts. So check that out. And we'll be back with you on Friday.